Okay, so for those who are doing Shnai Mikra, you find that there's a lot more in Chukas besides the Paraduma. So it's a... What? Okay. Okay. It's all kinds. You know, one of the many milas of Shnai Mikra is you get to actually read the Torah cover to cover. I know that sounds silly, but it's a big mila. Hashem wrote a book. We should all read it. So, as we know, the chait of the Mei Meriva is found in this week's parasha. And when we're little, because really we don't have a choice in terms of how we educate small children, so we say, what did Moshe do wrong? He hit the rock. Right? Okay, so you have to ask yourself, what's the big yetzer hara to hit a rock? You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Torah, greatest human being who ever lived and to ever live in at least some aspects, right? Probably in all aspects, but in at least some aspects, greatest human being to ever live, right? So I personally remember recently I was very upset about something and I was driving my car and I realized I'm going to have to drive back and then come back again and then I hit the steering wheel. It's very, and I considered that a personal failing. Like, that's not how a man should act. You get upset about something, so you smack the closest thing. So the steering wheel's in front of me. I smack the steering wheel. That's in my mind, 2 seconds after I did it, I was like, why are you being such a child? Like, that's not the way you should act. You know, so Kal v'chomer, ben benoshel, Kal v'chomer, we think Moshe Rabbeinu, he hit the rock, because he had this big gates R and he couldn't get over it, and he hit the rock. So it's important to keep in mind, I think the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh counts 10 or 11 different explanations for what the fate of Moshe Rabbeinu was, and the Barbanel, I think, has more. I think he has like 14. It's when you read the Psukim themselves, it's very hard to understand what exactly the fate of Moshe Rabbeinu was. But I just wanted to focus on one basic kasha on Rashi's Mahalach, because Rashi's Mahalach is the Mahalach that he hit the rock, and he didn't listen to the Tzivui Hashem. And it's very important also that if you ask a pure Pashtan, if you ask a pure reader of the text, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do wrong? So Hashem says what he did wrong. He says, Ya'an lo he'emantem bi lahakdisheni. Right? You didn't believe in me. Or perhaps you didn't cause others to believe in me. That different Rishonim learn that word different ways. But in the end of the day, it had something to do with Emuna, and it had something to do with Moshe projecting a certain image to the Jewish people. And Rashi, here, when he says that definitely a lot of it was based on a misunderstanding, meaning there was a mistake, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu asks it in the form of a question at first, right? That he says, right? Hamina Sela, right? Are we going to bring forth water from this particular Sela? Are we going to bring forth water from this particular rock? Right? And then Rashi says, and Rashi explains why Lafishalo Hayu Makirino Sela, Lafishalo Chasela Vyasha Bena Slime. They didn't recognize which rock it was, so there was an element of misunderstanding that was thrown in there. Again, everyone is fumbling with difficulties in the text, as well as just difficulties in the Svara. How is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu did this Avera, whatever the Avera even was? And then why did he hit the rock twice? Again, adding to the misunderstanding aspect of it. And then finally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yan lo hemantem bi, you didn't believe in me. So number one, it's stressing the fact that whatever Averos one may or may not attribute to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the reason he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Whatever else you might want to look at throughout the rest of the Torah, Rashi stresses, this is the reason, and he repeats it multiple times throughout the Torah. This is Gufa, the reason. It has nothing to do with the Cheda Egel, it has nothing to do with the Cheda Meraglim, nothing to do with anything else. But Rashi then goes on and says, V'halo atzonu v'akar yishachet kashem izu. Wait a second. If we're worried about Emuna and Bitachon and Hashem, so there's something that's much worse than this. In Parshas Baal Oscha a few weeks ago, what happens? Kadosh Baruch Hu says they're going to eat meat for 30 days straight till it's coming out of their noses. And then he says, wait a minute, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Atzonu Bakar Yishachet, we're going to shecht all the cattle and we're not going to have enough. So So isn't that a bigger lack of emuna and bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem's not going to produce enough meat for Klal Yisrael to consume? So Rashi says, yeah, that is worse. Elo lefisha b'seiser chosach alav akosum. But because that one was done in private, that was a private conversation between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the Torah doesn't hold Moshe to task as strongly. V'kan shebemamed kol Yisrael lo chosach alav akosum ne kiddush Hashem. So here, it was a lesser Avera, but Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't take pity on him. He didn't take it easy on him, because this could have been a greater Kiddush Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe to make a great Kiddush Hashem, and instead, he did the opposite, or he lost out on the opportunity to make that Kiddush Hashem. So, if you read Rashi very simply, you could come to the conclusion that this Avera was done in public as opposed to that Avera, which was a private conversation between Moshe and Kodesh Baruch. So you can't really understand Rashi that way. What would be the main reason, guys, why you can't really understand Rashi that this was an Avera done in public? Yeah. Right? You hear what he said? Anybody here? There's two reasons why nobody heard what you said. Number one, because no one listens when anybody else talks. And number two, because you said it very quiet. So I'm going to get the repeated and then I'll get the credit. Right? So what did he say, guys? He said, you can't say that this was a public Avera. Why? Because the tzivui to talk to the rock was done in private. No one knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing anything wrong when he hit the rock. So it's not like the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that even for a tiny Avera, or maybe even something which is not an Avera, you're chayav to be Moser Nefesh because it's being done in front of a minion of people. Right? There it says, Afilu Arkas of the Masana. You can't change the style of your shoelaces. Maybe it's a din in tznius, right? So you can't even change your styles, but certainly to violate a small lav, the Farhesia would be a Harig Val Yavr. But there, everybody knows you're doing a lot. Here, nobody necessarily knew Moshe Rabbeinu was doing anything wrong. So you can't just understand it, that this was an Avera and it wasn't so bad, but he did it in public, so it was terrible. That can't be what Rashi means, because no one else necessarily knew he was doing an Avera. Has to be that he could have made a greater Kiddush Hashem in public, and he didn't make a greater Kiddush Hashem in public. And that's what that fits in better with the Pasuk. Right? Yan lo emanta milak disheni. If you would have just trusted in me, you could have made a much greater Kiddush Hashem. So, I always thought the pshat was, I heard somebody say something very similar recently, I was listening to a shir, but he didn't quote a source, so I don't know, I didn't get a chance to look to see if this is, what I'm saying over is what he was quoting, but I apologize for that. But this was a thought that I had many years ago, and I thought that we have to ask ourselves another question before we answer this question, or explain what the Kiddush Hashem could have been, which is, Kadosh Baruch Hu B'davka commanded Moshe, right, a few psukim earlier, so he says, right, V'yidaber Hashem Moshe le'mor, kach es ha-mateh v'hakel sa'idu atov aron achicha, right, go get the mateh, right, the mateh. What mateh is he talking about, guys? What? Right, which one? Aaron's staff, right? How do we know? Because one parsha ago, we had the whole staff contest, right? Who's going to... And then he was told, what should you do with that staff? What's he doing with the staff? Once it started flowering and producing shkedim, what is Moshe Rabbeinu do with the staff? Put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So this is no small thing that Moshe is being told to do. Get the staff from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you will then gather together the people. Now, is he using the staff to gather the people? Or is the staff its own thing? What do you say? Well, I can prove from the next pasuk that it's its own thing. Right? Why? So he says, the next pasuk, it says, Vayikach Moshe samatem milofnei Hashem kasher tzivo. Period. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to get the staff. He went and he got the staff, milifnei Hashem. And he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He got the staff. Next pasuk, vayakilu Moshe Avaron, esakol, lifnei Hashem. Then they gathered the people. It wasn't dafka a tool being used to gather the people. It was a tzivui. Go get the staff. He got the staff. Then he gathered the people together. And then they say, are we going to bring forth? And then Moshe Rabbeinu raises up Rayar Moshe Siyado Vayachs Asal Mateo Pamayim Vayatsiyo Mayim Rabim Vateshta Edaviva. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told, go get the staff. Obviously, it's going to play a pivotal role in this process. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not telling you to do things for no reason. Go get the staff. He gets it. Then he gathers everybody together. And then he uses it. So, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Yan lo amatim yilakti sheni l'neim in Yisrael. You didn't sanctify my name the way you could have in front of Bnei Yisrael. So perhaps what... And then Rashi tells us what was the Kal Vachomer going to be? What was the Kiddush Hashem going to be? Bnei Yisrael would have made a Kal Vachomer onto themselves. Right? What would the Kal Vachomer have been? You guys read the Rashi yet? Not yet? Okay. So when you see it, it'll be a Chazara now. So so Rashi says the Kal Vachomer would have been this staff that needs nothing from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a domain. Right? It has no needs whatsoever. Kadosh Baruch Hu created it, and then it basically can sit there for all eternity and do nothing. Doesn't need food, doesn't need water, doesn't need anything. And yet, when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to it and says, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to bring forth water, it listens. Kal Vachomer, we who need everything from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so we should listen when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a tzivoy. The people would have figured it out on their own. They would have beaten down a Kal Vachomer and said, we should really listen to the Dvar Hashem, and we should be able to we should be able to learn this from the fact that the rock listened to the Tzivui Hashem. You with me so far? So, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't teach this Kal Vachomer, he didn't make this Kiddush Hashem in the eyes of the people, is the reason why he's now going to be replaced by Yehoshua. So, based on everything we just brought forth, I just wanted to suggest that what does it mean he did this Aver in public and it could have been a greater Kiddush Hashem, and that's why Moshe is all of a sudden being replaced. I don't think I'm saying anything so wild here. That 40 years ago, Moshe Rabbeinu was told you have to bring forth water from this rock. And he was told in Parshas B'Shalach, go find the rock. And this time he's doing it in front of only the Ziknei Yisrael. Go back to Parshas B'Shalach, you'll see he only hit the rock in front of the Ziknei Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to hit the rock. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told him to hit the rock in the history of his life. 40 years ago, he told him, hit this rock and it's going to bring forth water. And he hit it in front of the Ziknei Yisrael. But who is in the picture right now? It's the entire nation. He's doing it in front of everybody, not just the Ziknei Yisrael. And who are these people, guys? Who are they? They're the new generation, right? So, in the beginning of the Perek Chav, Pasuk Aleph, we started the whole discussion with the Misa of Miriam. That's what led to all of this. It says, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael, kol ha'eda. Right? So, in between Parshas Shlach and Parshas Chukas, it's a whole machlokas rishon, when did Parshas Korach actually happen? In between Parshas Shlach and Parshas Chukas, 38 and a half years elapsed. And here we are, now, Kol HaEgam, the entire new generation. Rashi tells us, that's to teach us that everybody from the previous generation was gone except for three, right? Who was supposed to die. At that point, they weren't necessarily supposed to die. Miriam, Moshe, and Aaron. They were the only three people who were holding out, besides Yeshua and Caleb, who were supposed to not make it into Eretz Yisrael, although the reason for Moshe and Aaron not making it hadn't happened yet. So here is a new generation, the children of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So what are we supposed to understand differently about the children versus that they wouldn't necessarily have applied to the parents? Well, who were the parents? How far removed from their lives in Mitzrayim were the parents when Moshe hit the rock the first time? What? A few days, a few weeks. Very short period of time. They had been avadim, right? We say, Ani avdecha ben amasecha. They were avadim. Bnei avodim, bnei avodim, bnei avodim. That's all they ever knew. Does an Eved make decisions for himself? Certainly not. And an Eved does not talk about morality. And Evan doesn't talk about what the right thing to do is and what the wrong thing to do is, right? And Evan knows you do it or you get a beating. And that's what they had been, that's what had been drilled into the heads of Klal Yisrael for generations. You do it or you get hit. Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to gather the nation and to talk to the rock 40 years ago because it would not have gone in. It wouldn't have registered that mentality of being an Eved, right? We don't understand how could the Chet of Egel have happened? How could all these things? If you just take a step back, and again, you're not supposed to necessarily psychologize the Torah, but from one perspective, if you understand what Klal Yisrael was at that point and where they were coming from, you can't just undo generations of Avgus in a few days, even with a Kriyas Yamsuf, even with a Maimon Har Sinai. Now, it doesn't mean that the Jewish people were off the hook. They were still held very much accountable for all of their averus. But at least to give a little perspective, right? There was no talking to the rock the first time Moshe Rabbeinu did it, and therefore there was no lesson to be learned. There was nothing to be gained from Moshe Rabbeinu not hitting the rock 40 years earlier. However, now we're dealing with their children. They had been in the Midbar. They had been Avdei Hashem. They were called the Dor Deah. Right? They had seen the Yad Hashem, and they had learned what it meant to make choices and make the right choices for most of them, at least the majority of their lives, for some of them, their entire lives. And they had seen what it meant to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Bechira Chafshis, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's the right thing to do. And now they were ready for a new lesson. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go get that same stick that 40 years ago you hit the rock with. And now you're going to show, of course I have the koach to hit. I have the same staff right here. I'm the same Moshe Rabbeinu who hit the rock all those years ago. But now I'm not going to use it. I'm going to talk to the rock. I'm going to say, this is the Ratzon Hashem. The Tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that you should bring forth water. And this time around, this generation is going to be able to chop, and they're going to be able to say, hey, that makes sense. And if that's a domain, if that's the rock deciding to bring forth water, Kal Vachomer, we should follow the Tzivui Hashem. Kal Vachomer, we should do what Hashem asked without waiting for a beating, without waiting to get hit. Not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can beat us up, but because it's the right thing to do, to listen to the Tzivui Hashem. And that was the Kiddush Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to make. And the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand that on whatever level, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't realize that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from him, and he reverted back to the idea of hitting the rock, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, no, no. We need a new leader for this generation. Moshe Rabbeinu, what you were doing was perfect for the previous generation, for the Yotzei Mitzrayim, but for the generation that's going to enter into Eretz Yisrael, now we need Yehoshua. We need the next generation to lead them forward. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu sort of, quote-unquote, missed out on that lesson that he was supposed to give over, he missed out on teaching Klal Yisrael this yisod of listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's the right thing, not because you have to and you're being forced to and you're going to get a beating if you don't do it. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's time for a change. And we need Yehoshua to take over as a member of this next generation to give the message a little bit differently. And this, I think, is a really universal yisod. Listen, there's no grumpier old man than me. I'm always complaining about what used to be 2 minutes ago, what used to be 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But Lemaisa, one of the many things that everybody understands from this incident is that every door needs its own leaders. Right? And we're told, obviously, we have to give respect to our generation's leaders. Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro. Yiftach was not a great Talmud Chacham. Shmuel was, in some ways, Keneged Moshe V'Aaron. And if you're living during Dor Yiftach, you're going to sit there kvetching, oi, I remember Shmuel Anavi, or I heard the legend of Shmuel Anavi. That, right? Or even though he wasn't born yet. Saying that was a leader. Right? That's a real leader. Bottom line is, every generation has the leadership that it needs, and it has to learn how to talk to the people of that door. Right? What worked for a kid 5 years ago doesn't necessarily work for a kid today. What worked for an adult 10 years ago doesn't necessarily work for an adult today. And we have to our job, right, that which brings a Jew to greater heights in Avodas Hashem is the Torah itself. It's true. And if you give over Torah to a Jew, it's going to make him fly, it's going to make him thrive. The job of the leader of a generation is not to reinvent the Torah and to make the Torah different. The job of a leader of a generation is to figure out a way to get the Torah inside that Jew. Figure out a way to let the Torah work its magic on Klal Yisrael. That's the hard part. And that's what we have to realize from even the greatest of all time, Moshe Rabbeinu, was deemed in some way, again, it's not for us to criticize, but it was deemed in some way not to be the right leader for the next generation because he didn't deliver the message in the way that was perfect for them. So you have to figure out ways, both on a leadership level and on a personal level, to figure out how are we going to get the Torah and package it in such a way that it's going to get inside the people of Klal Yisrael, and how are we going to package the Torah in a way that it's going to get inside of us? And when we figure that out, we'll be zocheh to utilize the greatness of the Torah to climb to even greater heights.